What if 55 powered parachutes showed up at a rotorcraft meet? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. For its 2010 convention and fly-in, the popular Rotorcraft Association tried something novel to boost attendance. Taking advantage of the fact that it owns the Mentone Airport in Indiana, where its own convention is held, PRA invited powered parachute enthusiasts to join its members. It seemed logical. Mentone is in a remote area, surrounded by flat farmland. Like the gyroplanes, which make up the majority of the aircraft at PRA, powered parachutes have a low and slow flight envelope. Early mornings, when the PPC guys like to fly, are generally not very busy with gyroplanes. And it seemed to have worked. To make sure everyone got the attention needed to interact safely, the PPCs had their own air boss, Brian McCallan, working from their end of the field, coordinating with the rotorcraft by radio. On the final day of the event, I spoke with Brian to see how things had gone. Brian, the first thing I have to ask you is, what made a bunch of powered parachute folks think it would be a great idea to come to a rotorcraft event?
We were approached by Scott Lewis and them to bring the powered parachutes down. They're wanting to build this into a big event every year. We figured the rotorcraft guys and the powered parachute guys were a good fit, and so we proceeded on, and we ended up having a great event.
Well, both kinds of aircraft are low and slow aircraft. You guys fly mainly dawn and dusk, and the gyros fly a lot in the middle of the day. It seems like it was ideal.
It was a great fit. I mean, so we get up early in the morning. We're usually in the air at this time of the year, 6:30, and we fly till 8:30, 9 o'clock. And the gyro guys, they're basically just getting started, but they have the luxury of going all day long. And then, like I say, we start back up 6:30 in the evening and go till dark. So, yeah, it was a good fit. It worked out well.
Explain the appeal of powered parachutes, because one of the things that struck me when I walked through your campsite on your end of the airport was that there were folks here who had a lot of money invested in their aircraft and obviously could have bought light sport aircraft or rotorcraft or, old Cessnas. Or what is it that draws people to this kind of aircraft?
Well, for one, it's a very easy aircraft to fly. I mean, you basically have three controls. You have two foot bars, one to go left, one to go right, and you have a throttle to take you up and down. So it's very easy to learn to fly. And most of the people like the slow flight. We go maybe 30 mile an hour at the most. If we get a good tailwind, we can go faster. And it's also a very safe aircraft. So I think the easeability of training and learning to fly and plus the safety factor is really what sells the units.
I have to ask you, because you mentioned training, is the problem with letters of deviation authority or authorization that's affecting some other kinds of ELSA aircraft a problem in powered parachutes right now?
Yes, it is. Yeah, I mean, we're just like the rest of the light sport. We have the experimental and the specials, and the gentlemen, the CFIs are involved. There's some things going on with that we're waiting for outcomes to figure out how we're going to continue to train people that are wanting it to get into the sport. So it will be able to be done, but it's going to cost some money to the CFIs and stuff. But I think it's going to be figured out, and we should be able to proceed forward with that, I hope.
Do events like this contribute in any way to the availability of training? Do they become a place where people come early and take training, or is it not really developed to that yet? Because in the gyroplane world, that happens a lot.
I would like to see it go in that direction. Right now, the power parachute people are great people. It's like a family situation where we go, and we get there. Our concentration is, since we have a limited time in the morning and evening to fly, we just like to get up and fly and have fun. But I'd like to make time to be able to, if people want to come in and we can have classes or something of that nature to get them into the sport. I think it's a real good idea. We need to do that.
When we return, a look to the future. More with Brian McCallan in a moment. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Freedom through performance. At Cirrus, performance is not simply the measurement of a single design parameter. Rather, it's a total package. It's optimum balance of speed, efficiency, comfort, safety, ease of flight, and quality. We call it Cirrus Flying 2.0. Aren't you ready to feel the freedom?
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. Brian McCallan served as the air boss for the powered parachutes, whose owners accepted the invitation to fly at the Popular Rotorcraft Association's annual convention and fly-in at Mentone, Indiana last month.
Where do you see equipment going in this sport? Because it obviously, for people who were in touch with the original ultralight movement, things look a lot different now than they did 20 or 25 years ago. Where is it going in the future?
I hope to see it with different engines and different material with the aircraft that's going to become safer. Hopefully we can make some lighter aircraft, aviation, everybody knows, is expensive to get into. So I would like to see somehow we could build some aircraft to get the dollars down to allow more people to be involved in that. And I think it's going to have to be done with engines that are a little bit stronger but lighter, and also some ways of doing the airframes differently.
Right. How many folks turned out for this on the powered parachute side?
The last count I got as far as powered parachutes themselves is about 50 of them. So I'm going to say two people came with each one. So we probably got 100 to 150 people.
Well, this seems like an ideal airport environment for this kind of event for you guys. Is it tough to find an event or an airport where you're welcome?
Guys have run into that problem. My business is actually located in Plymouth, Indiana, and they're very, I'll call it ultralight or power parachute friendly. But we've had some stories of guys having problems as far as for power parachutes to get on the airports, which hopefully that will be also a problem solved. But for the most part, the fly-ins, I mean, this is unique to have it at an airport such as Mentone. Most of the fly-ins are done out in farmers' fields or, you know, any place that you can find enough grass to take off from is basically for power parachutes. Which is another selling point for them, or good, unique thing about them.
Well, given the good food in the canteen and the indoor plumbing, do you think you'll be back?
I was talking to Scott about that, and I'm 99.9% sure we're going to be back. They've been great. They have made a point to make sure the power parachute people are taken care of here, and the facility, everything was great. The fireworks last night, so I'm pretty sure we're going to be back next year.
The final count at Mentone was 70 rotorcraft and 55 powered parachutes. The PRA's annual convention and fly-in is generally scheduled starting Tuesday, the week after Oshkosh, and draws participation from these aircraft types, which dwarfs the turnout at Whitman Regional Airport. Next year, if you want to see the region's biggest gathering of either gyroplanes or powered parachutes, take a few extra days after Air Venture and stop by Mentone, Indiana. There are motels available in nearby Warsaw or Rochester, and camping right on the airport, with indoor bathrooms and showers. Find out more about the Popular Rotorcraft Association at PRA.org. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.